Is this life going the way you plan? If you're like most of us, disappointments, regrets, traumas, and other hurdles may have kept you from living as you might have hoped. But even with all these challenges, an existence marked by openness, connection, and joy is still possible, says Sharon Salzberg in her new book, Real Life: The Journey from Isolation to Openness and Freedom. Sharon is one of the most prominent meditation teachers in the United States, the co-founder of the Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Massachusetts, and the author of multiple best-selling books. Here she is to share five of her key insights.
Hi, my name is Sharon Salzberg. I've been teaching meditation for over 45 years. I'm the author of several books. The most recent one is Real Life: The Journey from Isolation to Openness and Freedom. With an earlier book I'd written, I was getting coached by the writer Susan Griffin, who said to me, "Many people think you write a book about a topic like love or faith because you know all about it and you just want to share your expertise. More likely, you're writing a book about a topic like that because you want to learn more about it, and the writing is part of the learning." So today I want to share five insights with you. And like many insights we may have, maybe something familiar, something we already have seen, and hopefully we're in a continual process, I as the writer, as well as you as the reader, of being able to see it in a deeper and deeper way. Insight one, contraction limits our creativity and connection. Contraction or constriction isn't the same as focusing or being one-pointed or being centered or being contained. We can be specific, determined, and intentional without being constricted. For a moment, think of the last time you were lost in fear, when you were harshly unforgiving of yourself, or when you felt a craving so strong that all reason and common sense fled. Remember those old infatuations, for example. Or consider the last time any sense of potential change collapsed and you fell into hopelessness. There are moments when we experience limited options, the blunting of our creativity, a feeling of disconnection, the dimming of our vision of what is possible. It's not to say that contraction is bad or wrong to feel, but if it becomes a steady state, we begin living more and more in a world of tunnel vision, auditory exclusion, distorted perception, narrowed interests, of joy that is right here in front of us, that we miss simply because we don't see it. Our perception of options, of possibility, of aliveness fades, and we suffer. Insight number two, get curious. Happiness isn't necessarily where you thought it would be. Years ago, I was traveling back to the East Coast from New Mexico with some friends and their four-year-old child, when all of a sudden, she wandered off in the St. Louis airport and got lost. When we finally found the child, thanks to a kind staff member, the child was very upset and frightened and said accusingly to her mother, "You weren't where you were supposed to be." Of course, her mother had never left where she was supposed to be, and the child herself had wandered off. This incident reminds me of the sense of betrayal and fear we can feel when we discover that perfect happiness isn't where we had expected it to be. You're not where you're supposed to be. The second insight here is to become curious and investigate where we're looking for happiness. Along the way, we may see that it's society's precise prescriptions for freedom, for happiness, and for abundance that can bind us most severely. Questioning leaves us released from the grip of perhaps having once, long ago, felt a certain way, or from projecting our fears into a seemingly unchanging future, or from making choices based on a long ago determination that we don't deserve to be happy. Questioning leaves us free and open to discovery. Insight number three, loving presence transforms our relationship to painful emotions. Kate Braestrup serves as a chaplain to search and rescue workers in Maine. She recounts being called out to sit with the parents of a missing six-year-old child, later found alive after many hours lost in the woods. The little girl's mother said to her, "It's so cool that the warden service has a chaplain to keep us from freaking out. Braestrup responded, I'm not really here to keep you from freaking out. I'm here to be with you while you freak out. Braestrup knows that as a chaplain, it's not her job to take people's suffering away. Instead, she says, I am there if they want to grieve or laugh or suffer or sing. It is a ministry of presence. It is showing up with a loving heart. Many healing modalities, such as mindfulness meditation, are designed to help us cultivate a ministry of presence for ourselves, a space of forgiveness, compassion, and openness in the face of our own inner pain. This can be summed up as love. I most often think of love as a visceral, embodied knowing of connection with ourselves, with another, with life. Instead of demanding that a painful emotion disappear or becoming all consumed by it, we begin to relate to our experience, whatever it is, with spaciousness infused with kindness. We begin to relate to ourselves with love, whatever we are going through. While we can't control life, we begin to affect change by profoundly transforming the space the pain we feel is held within. Insight number 4, cultivating positive states creates resilience. Author and activist Sojourner Truth said, life is a hard battle anyway. If we laugh and sing a little as we fight the good fight of freedom, it makes it all go easier. I will not allow my life's light to be determined by the darkness around me. This quote reminds me that a primary ingredient in transforming our relationship to painful experiences is to have enough light to surround the darkness, a space big enough to hold the pain and not collapse into it. We can cultivate that space by taking time to practice positive states, such as gratitude, awe, serenity, hope, or loving kindness. According to researcher Barbara Fredrickson, who specializes in positive states, these qualities aren't just feel-good states, but they actually help us broaden our scope of awareness so we can experience a wider array of thoughts, actions, and perceptions. They also build a sense of inner resource, of available strength. This gives us a deeper resiliency to meet life, whatever comes our way. Insight number 5, we find ourselves through connecting with others. When we connect with others, we don't lose ourselves, we find ourselves. In those moments, we find the voice within that isn't overcome by fear, though that may be in the room, or by unworthiness, though that may be there too. We find the voice born of recognizing a bigger sense of possibility, which urges us to engage without the certainty of definite immediate reward. This is what gets us out of bed, out of lethargy, to see if life can be different. Connecting to one another is the dynamism that reminds us continually to affirm what might yet be, rather than allowing discouragement or anxiety to lay waste to any sense of that vision. We can experience a power of connection that is alive and responsive. Our hearts tremble, or we have a clear intuition as to how a conversation may look from someone else's perspective. Or we recognize for a moment that this person wants to be happy, just as we do, that they have their own story and hopes and fears and dreams. We respond more and more from that place of connection, rather than the fears and divisions and preconceptions that beset us. We are, after all, capable of not only the greatest wrongs, but also the highest good. Many days, we face the direct question of what will get us to try to reach for the highest. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Sharon. That was 5 big ideas from Real Life, The Journey from Isolation to Openness and Freedom by Sharon Salzberg. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.